Okay, so we are back again for week 7 in the NFL. We're here again on the Dan and Joe Fantasy Show. Thanks for listening. As always, I'm Dan. I got Joe here with me. So we're back after a little 1 week off there. But we did get our picks out for week 6, and I have to say we did pretty good. So we will, as we always do, we'll take a look at those before we get into our picks for this week for our must starts, fades, and everything in between. And so going into week 7, a big week for not just in the NFL but also fantasy football. We are getting down to kind of crunch time here. If you're sitting like at 2-4, like a league or two, we're dangling here on the edge of a lost season. So hopefully we can get wins here. But before we get into all that, there is a lot of news to hit for this week. And obviously the biggest news that we are all aware of now at this point, if you follow the NFL at all, major news, Patrick Mahomes with a dislocated kneecap last night in Thursday Night Football. And at this point, I think considering that information that we got late Thursday, the information today is about best case scenario, I think, considering the dislocated kneecap for Pat Mahomes.
Yeah, so the league MVP, terrible injury here with the dislocated kneecap. But it looks like it's going to be a best case scenario with maybe missing 3 games at minimum, they're saying. But I feel like it's going to be a 4-game absence with the bye week, and he'll be back week 13.
Yeah.
And be ready for you, your Patrick Mahomes fantasy owners, for the playoff run. And hopefully you can not miss a beat and still be in the playoffs. And when he returns, he can help carry you to a championship. But, yeah, huge news. And then you know, we can kind of dive into the trickle-down effect here on how – you know, I mean, with this high explosive offense, you know, you got Tyreek Hill, you got Kelsey, McCoy, yep, Williams, Hardman. You know, now Matt Moore's at quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, all these other owners of these guys, I mean, you got to bring them down quite a bit here for the next 4 games, and just a trickle-down effect from the Patrick Mahomes injury.
Yeah, and I agree with you. You know, I think if you have him in fantasy, I think you got to expect that you're going to be without him until week 13. Unless there's some kind of miracle, kind of Saquon Barkley type recovery here, I don't see the Chiefs bringing him back ahead of the bye. That's just my own opinion, really. You know, but we've seen the timetable of best case scenario, 3 weeks or 4 to 6 weeks, but I think that probably what they'll do is hold him out through the bye, and then you would get him back for the fantasy playoffs, but you're going to be without him for the next, you know, 5 weeks. And, you know, you were going to be without him in week 12 anyway, but I think that's – if you get him back sooner, it's a bonus, but I think you have to plan for him being out until week 13. The silver lining that if they do, I think then you can expect him to be – as close as possible to 100%. There's some speculation that he'll need surgery, but, you know, holding him out through week 5, I think, gives him the best chance to be healthy once he gets back to the field. And then, you know, you talk about the other guys, the rest of the team there, and I think DeMarcus Robinson, Mecole Hardman are unstartable right now until we see. I mean, you can't really expect Matt Moore to lead the offense in any remotely kind of way Matt Mahomes does. So I think the expectation is that those guys, their value is almost evaporated now.
With two like huge matchups coming in the next 2 weeks, like at home against Green Bay and at home against the Vikings, like,
yeah.
Not very good matchups, you know, for Matt Moore and the Chiefs offense. So, yeah, like you said, I mean, obviously you're still starting Tyreek Hill. You're still starting Kelsey. Now you kind of, I mean, I don't know what you do with Damian Williams and LeSean McCoy.
That's rough for them, too.
It's going to be – yeah, it's going to be rough because, I mean, now we're going to be going from 30 points a game to what? I mean, 24, 20, somewhere in there. I mean, and the good news is, I mean, for the Chiefs in general is the defense looked world beaters on Thursday Night Football. So if they can continue that, then maybe we can get the offense some more opportunities. But, I mean, this offense has got to go down 7 to 10 points per game with, you know, without Patrick Mahomes.
Right, yeah. I saw that Vegas was, you know, the expectation is that Vegas values him at 10 points on the spread, which is huge. So that just goes to show you the level of value. But, you know, the only two guys on the Chiefs roster that I would feel comfortable starting – not comfortable, but that you would – that you're going to have in your lineup, I think, are Kelce and Tyreek Hill. I think the other guys, if you have another reasonable option, that's where I would go. I wouldn't feel confident starting the running backs. Bay has not been good against the run, but it's really just their floor is low. And specifically for and Kelce, their floors are really significantly impacted. My take here is I think Andy Reid, I don't know so much about Kelce. I'm not so sure there how that's going to go. But for Tyreek Hill, in my opinion, I would expect them to scheme the ball a lot to Tyreek Hill with Matt Moore in there. I think you're going to see a lot of screens. I think you're going to see jet sweeps. I think Tyreek Hill's touches may actually go up because, in my opinion, I think they're going to scheme the ball significantly to Tyreek Hill with Matt Moore on the field. And so we'll see if that bears out. But the upside, I think, is still there. We saw it last night with the long touchdown. The upside is still there for Tyreek because he's such a dynamic player. I don't know about Kelce. We're going to have to wait and see. But with the tight end position being so rough, I'm still going to have to start him.
Yeah, and I think you make a very good point there. They're going to be trying to take the – I mean, not let Matt Moore make a bad decision. You know, just one read, you know, or like you said, the jet sweeps, more screens, quick plays, get the ball out of his hands. Yeah. Let these guys do the work.
Yeah.
And not rely on what Mahomes was elite at is, you know, making a – secondary play out of the when the first play broke down,
right?
You know, rolling out of the pocket, throwing the ball 50 yards down the field and making the big plays. You know, I mean, they're going to be doing this more quote unquote gadget plays, you know, while Mahomes is on the sideline.
Yeah, I agree. And I think even maybe there's some optimism there for the running backs that they may do some of that with them as well, but overall, going into week 7, I would not feel good about starting anyone other than Hill and Kelce. So it's rough right now if you're invested in the Chiefs offense, unfortunately. But one team that is just now getting their quarterback back and is feeling pretty good, I think, about themselves right now, coming off a win, is the New York Jets. Sam Darnold was back last week. They beat the Cowboys, and that offense looked completely different. And, you know, going forward, I think from a fantasy standpoint, there's a lot of reasons to be optimistic about guys like, well, Darnold, Le'Veon Bell, Jamison Crowder, and Robbie Anderson, simply because Darnold brings to the table. And if you look at their schedule after this week, it opens up really nicely for that offense to maybe, you know, have several guys out there that are worthwhile fantasy starters.
Yeah, and so, I mean, this opens up the door for some of those Chiefs owners. Like, if you have these other guys on your roster or have the ability to acquire them via trade or something, the Jets offense is clearly 100 times better with Sam Darnold in the lineup. I mean, it's just – it was, I mean, he throws for over 300 yards, 2 touchdowns, had the big long bomb to Robbie Anderson. And then, like you said, the schedule Yeah, it's like after this week, the clouds part, and it's go time for the Jets.
Yeah, I mean, if you have Pat Mahomes, Sam Darnold is someone you could definitely consider going after. You, it's going to be risky starting him this week against maybe the best defense in football, their home in New England. But then they're at Jacksonville, and that's not as great a matchup as Sam Darnold. But Jacksonville currently has the worst run defense in Football Outsiders DVOA, rush efficiency. They have the worst football. And then they have Miami, the Giants, the Redskins, the Raiders, the Bengals, Miami again, then Baltimore, whose defense is actually terrible this year. And then week 16 against Pittsburgh, you're already there. So after this week, it doesn't really get much better than that. Two matchups with Miami. So if you do have Patrick Mahomes, Darnold is a guy you can look at. And I think for Le'Veon Bell, he's a guy you might want to look at if you can go after him, if the owner is in a bad spot, or maybe if they are after next week, if they pick up a loss because the matchup's pretty rough this week. After this week, he could go on a massive tear because from a rushing standpoint, it's pure gold.
Yeah, with Miami twice, you got the Giants in there and the Redskins in there. Four games where it's plus matchups for, you know, Le'Veon Bell and all these Jets, Sam Darnold, Robbie Anderson. I mean, yeah, the schedule is just cupcake-ish.
Yeah, doesn't get much better than what they've got over the next several weeks. So, yeah, there's some options there for you to maybe go after and deal with the loss of Patrick Mahomes. Some other news, Alvin Kamara was just ruled out today. So, hopefully, if you do have him, you have Latavius Murray. I would view him as an RB2 this week. I am a little bit nervous, honestly. You and I are starting him in one league. And I think he's a solid RB2, but – the matchup is not good.
Yeah, I was going to actually talk about this in the show because, you know, like you said, we own him in the league that we share or on the team that we share. And I was going to bring that up too. I'm half skeptical, nervous about it too.
Yeah.
It's not a – I mean, Chicago's coming off a bye. I know Josh Jacobs ran all over them, but kind of nervous here.
Yeah.
At first, I thought it was like going to be a home run. Yeah, Kamara's out. You got to plug him in and go. But after kind of diving into it a little bit more, kind of skeptical. I'm not – I mean, I think we're probably going to have to start him, but I'm not expecting him to, you know, throw 20 points on the board.
Yeah, I mean, the workload is definitely going to be there. He's going to get – you know, he's probably looking at least 12 touches, and you know, you could probably reasonably expect 15 to 18 touches in this game, which at the running back position, that those kind of touches are, there's not very many leagues where you're not going to have to start a guy like that. But I don't think this is some kind of game where he's going to blow up. I don't see that. He's not an RB1, even though should get a lot of volume. I don't think you can consider him an RB1. He is definitely kind of a lower-ish RB2. The matchup is just pretty rough. Road against the Bears coming off a bye. They have Trubisky back, which maybe that doesn't help the Bears much on offense, but it's – who knows? Maybe it does. So it's a risky – there's a reasonable floor there, but I don't think you can go in and think that you're getting – you know, if you have Latavius – I don't think you can plug him in expecting Kamara-type numbers. That's not going to happen.
No, I think he's probably going to be heavily involved in the pass game too, so that's going to be a plus. I mean, he gets at least four catches in this game. At 4 to 5 range, I would guess, would be the minimum.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, obviously this is all going to be game flow, but he's going to be involved, like you said. I mean, 12 to – 20 is probably the range of touches, I would guess.
Yeah.
I don't think he gets less than that unless, you know, something happens, but, and I don't think he gets any more than that either. So, And does he score?
The big question there is, does he get?
Yeah. I mean, does he hit pay dirt? That's going to be, if he does, then that makes a day right there.
Exactly.
Because he's going to get the volume. He's going to get the touches. And if he gets into the end zone somehow, I mean, that's going to elevate his status there. But I don't think you can't guarantee touchdowns. You can't. They're not automatic. So it'll be a plus if he gets in the end zone.
And that game, you know, it's going to be one of the slower paced games in the league. It has one of the lowest over unders. Lowest, I'd have to double check it, but I know the over under right now is like 38.5 points, which is pretty low.
38? That's really low.
Yeah. So yeah, Vegas is saying there's not going to be a ton of points in this game. So, you know,
which makes sense because both have good defenses. Trubisky's been injured; he's maybe back. Bridgewater's a backup. Kamara's out. Jared Cook's out.
Yeah,
a lot of good players are out for this game.
So the only other news that we wanted to touch on here, noteworthy point that we wanted to get into before we take a look at last week's picks. The biggest trade so far this year, Jalen Ramsey finally got traded his, you know, phantom back injury, card that he played, finally worked. The Jaguars did, dug in though, and they got their two first rounders and a mid round pick, Jalen Ramsey to the Los Angeles Rams. The only real fantasy impact here for me, I look at this, that now, you know, teams facing the Rams, the number one receiver there is going to have to square off against Jalen Ramsey, and if he is, you know, the Jalen Ramsey that we expect, that's a downgrade for those guys. He is expected to play this week, so you would have to think that he is going to square off with Julio Jones a lot. And, you know, considering that it was probably going to be Julio versus Marcus Peters a lot, this is definitely a downgrade for Julio Jones. You're still starting him. But the point being, you know, if you're looking at your team there, and then if you see Rams, if you have the number one receiver on a team, he's going to be facing with Jalen Ramsey, and that is, we would expect – it to be a downgrade to that matchup.
Yeah, I mean, Jacksonville played their cards and held out and waited for the highest bidder. And I don't know what the Rams are thinking, but obviously they traded away Marcus Peters to Baltimore. Aqib Talib went on the IR, so they had to make a move, I guess. I mean, I don't understand the move from an NFL standpoint.
Well, man, I mean,
but when you get a chance to get a cornerback like Jalen Ramsey, you do it. But they gave up a ton, man. The Rams make weird moves, real big bold moves, and
they got Jared Goff. They're set.
Yeah, Jared Gross. No, I heard. I can't remember what the name was. What was his? I can't remember that. Yeah, Jared Gross.
Yeah.
Jared Goffel. That's what it was. Jared Goffel.
He certainly was last week. 78 passing yards. That's
just awful, yeah. But to get to Jalen, and then the Rams, I mean, like you said, I mean, that's – just pay attention now because Jalen is a lockdown cornerback, and he likes to shadow guys, so if you're playing, if you got somebody and they're going against the Rams that week, like this week, Julio Jones, this will be a really interesting matchup. I mean, because Jalen's been there for like 3 days, so how much can he know of the defense? But if they just tell him, hey, go cover that guy, he can do that. He can do it pretty well. So
I would think that, you know, I don't know, it's hard to say, but I would think that they're going to play a lot of man coverage because then that allows Jalen to just – go, you know, one-on-one with his guy, and then not worry so much about, you know, am I playing over here or, you know, things like that. So I would think the Rams are going to be in a ton of man, and that may be an advantage for Atlanta, expecting that. But, you know, when you're looking at the fantasy playoffs, the Rams have Seattle, Dallas, and San Francisco. So week 14, you know, possibly a negative for a downgrade for Tyler Lockett. And then week 15, you know, I don't think there's any question that he is going to shed Amari Cooper if he's healthy by that point, which he should be. and you be out there, you know, unless something else happens. So that's a downgrade there. San Francisco, they don't have a number one. I would be shocked if they had Ramsey guard Kittle. So they're probably not affect there. But the biggest impact there, looking at the fantasy playoffs, I think is Amari Cooper. That's a tough matchup for him in week 15.
Yeah, and that's the week that's going to send you to the Super Bowl. So be leery of that, Amari Cooper owners.
So with that, we can take a look here real quick into our picks from last week. We didn't have the show, but we did get those out there on social media. Hopefully you follow us, Dan and Joe Fantasy Show on Facebook and Twitter. And I got to say, we did pretty good here. We had a pretty good week. We'll start with the must starts. And Joe, you nailed it with Terry McLaurin. He had a monster day. Gallup, not so much. He was okay. 8.8 points in PPR. For me, I had OBJ and Mike Evans. Neither one of them scored a touchdown. Mike Evans did hit 20 points, so pretty good. I think we did. You know, that's pretty good for your must starts.
Yeah, I mean, 3 out of 4. I mean, that's not bad. And McLaurin only had like 5 targets, but he had 4 catches and 2 touchdowns. So, I mean, a very efficient day for Terry McLaurin.
Yep. And then and the good options. And I have a little bit of a rant here. A couple, you know, I had Stephon Diggs. First of all, let me just get that out there. I had Stephon Diggs as a good option. He had an absolutely ridiculously monster day. And no, I was not expecting that. And this is what I want to rant about a little bit is because, you know, a couple weeks ago we had Will Fuller had a similarly monster day. And I saw fantasy experts out there saying, oh, yeah, you know, that wasn't all that unexpected. And I just if you see a fantasy analyst after the fact saying they expected someone to score a receiver to score 3 touchdowns, they're lying to you. They did not. No one expected Stephon Diggs to score 3 touchdowns, but he did. And so that was a hit for me. But no one is predicting if they predict it and it happens, then good for them. But if after the fact they're telling you, oh yeah, yeah, no, all right, well, yeah, totally expected. No one is predicting that stuff. It's real. I saw a lot of that after the Will Fuller game. I'm thinking you guys are just ridiculous. You're patting yourself on the back. You probably had it projected for 17.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my rant there on people. They know when guys are going to score 40. You don't know. You know, it just happens. These blow-up games can happen. I did expect Stephon Diggs to have a good day. By no means, I expect him to score 43 points. And that really killed him. I played him in one league, and he just murdered. And then my other one, I had Adrian Peterson, and that was a good, you know, basically right exactly what I – ton of touches. He had 15.6 in PPR. So, you know, the good options were pretty good for me. Joe, you had Carlos Hyde, which was a great call, and Dede Westbrook, which scored 8.3 in PPR. So not terrible, but, you know.
There we go. 3 out of 4 in that category. Again, not, I mean, Dede didn't flop, but.
Yeah.
But, you know, I won't count that one as a win, but it wasn't really a loss either, but. Yeah, I mean, another good one for us.
Yep. And then on to the dart throws, you nailed both of these. Chase Edmonds and Mark Walton, two great picks. Both those guys had – if you were putting those guys into your lineup, you were a dart, and those were two great hits started those guys. Mine, I missed both of these. I had Snead, and Ito Smith was completely invisible. I was a little bit surprised because he had been splitting snaps a lot with Devontae Freeman. So I missed both of mine there, but still, you know, we went 2 out of 4. That was our worst category, and those are always kind of iffy picks there. But you know, not bad there either.
Yeah, I mean, when you're talking dart throws, I mean, last week Chase and Mark are the epitome of that. Like, if you were starting them, you needed something. I mean, and you get 12 and 14 respectively. That's a dart throw, and that's a win.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, you get 12 points. 12 out of both of those guys, that's about all you can ask for. So those were great plays if you had them. And then the fades, I did hit these. We went 3 out of 4 again. The only one that was a miss here was Carson Wentz, had a pretty usable fantasy day with 24.5 if you score touchdowns for quarterbacks like everyone else. I had Joe Mixon and Jordan Howard, and both of those guys were complete busts, so did not start them. And then the other one, Joe, for you, Jared Goff, fantastic call. He was atrocious.
Jared Goffle. Yeah, he was. That was just pretty gross. Yeah, not good. So yeah, I mean, we got, let's see, 3 out of 4, 3 out of 4, 2 out of 4, and 3 out of 4. That's probably, I mean, I have to go back and look, but probably our best week to date so far.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, good week for us. So hopefully we can do it again, because every week is more important until you're eliminated. But so for this week, we can go ahead and get in. Hopefully we hit them again. And here, Joe, you had Michael Gallup last week, and I am going with Michael Gallup this week. Matchup is fantastic, going against arguably the worst passing defense in the league in the Philadelphia Eagles right now. Mari Cooper is banged up. It does look like he's going to play. I actually, that doesn't, you know, a lot of people are going to say, oh, well, Cooper's out, so Gallup's going to get a ton of touches. But the flip side of that is that he gets all the defensive attention. So to me, it doesn't really move the needle, because I think it ends up being a wash in that he may get more targets, but the targets are going to be less valuable. Now with Cooper on the field, he probably will get less targets, more valuable, getting the attention. So it doesn't move the needle. I like him in this matchup because he's a fantastic player and he's killing it right now. You know, he didn't have a great day last week, but he wasn't, you know, terrible either. The matchup's great. I think Michael Gallup should stay locked into your lineups. And for me, the other one, and we're going to hit this matchup a ton here. Basically, this week is start your Buffalo Bills.
Yeah. Third string tight end starting. Just every Buffalo Bill you can.
Get him in your lineup.
Jam him in your lineup, yes.
Josh Allen is a bona fide top five QB1 for me this week. You know, there's only a couple guys that I would have started over him. He locked up. Don't even worry about it, because if you look at the two games where they played Miami last year, Josh Allen had rushing lines, not passing, rushing lines of 9 carries for 135 yards, 9 carries for 95 yards, and 2 touchdowns. And it was last year's Dolphins. This year's Dolphins are 10 times worse. And, you know, we like everybody, but some, you know, it's reasonable that Josh Allen gets him some rushing scores in this game. And, you know, you may have some people doubting it and that they're going to get up big, run the ball a lot. And I don't disagree with that, but I think that part of the way they get up in this game is that Josh Allen's going to score a ton of points. And I don't think you can get too cute with that. Just start Josh Allen this week.
Yeah, everybody, if you listen to the show, and Dan, you already know my love for Josh Allen is out there, and I wear it proudly.
Proving to be, you know, pretty on point.
Yeah, and I wanted him in almost every league. I got him. I only got him in the Arrowhead League, but just I had a feeling the way he ended last year on such an up tilt, you know, a trajectory going clearly up.
Yeah.
You know, adding the running game that he can do, and then him getting more comfortable in the offense and being able to throw the ball. And then now this year, he started off hot. Got hurt in the New England game, but came back and, you know, killed it again. And, you know, I have to look at the Buffalo Bills schedule too. I think they got a pretty easy schedule coming up too. I was trying to pull it up on my computer, but it's being junky right now.
I can get that pulled up here pretty quick. Let's see. Buffalo, they do. They have Miami this week, and they still have them again coming.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they've got Miami this week. Then they got Philly. That's a great passing matchup. We just talked about them. Then Washington. Then Cleveland. Then Miami again. Then Denver isn't so great. Dallas, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, and it doesn't really get real bad until the championship weekend for fantasy football week 16 when they have the New England Patriots. But all the way through that, you know, there's some that aren't great, but there are also a lot of really great matchups, especially over the next 5 weeks when you got two against Miami, one against Washington, one against Philly.
Yeah, a lot of great matchups coming up for Buffalo. Josh Allen, man, he – I don't know where he's at right now because of the injury game, but definitely has a chance to be a top 10, top 12 quarterback on the season.
Yeah.
And then maybe even higher with this schedule coming up for the next 5, 6, 7 weeks here. But to get into my must-starts this week, my must-start – one of my must-start is Daniel Jones. A lot of teams on bye this week. And Daniel Jones is going to shred this week. there's going to be – Arizona is terrible on defense. They allow a lot of fantasy football points to opposing quarterbacks. And to top that off, the Giants are getting back – Evan Ingram, Saquon Barkley, Sterling Shepard, and Jones is, you know, he's kind of been hit or miss here and there, but this matchup against Arizona is going to be, a lockdown. If you have Daniel Jones, you're starting him. I don't know who you would have over him, but this is a great matchup for Daniel Jones, and to add all these other players back into the mix. Adding Saquon Barkley back to the lineup is just immense anyways, but
yeah, Saquon for him. Is he good?
He's quite good.
Yeah, I think that's a huge boost for them. And I think the other thing about that is that they're gonna pass it to Saquon Barkley a lot.
Computer booted down.
I think Saquon Barkley is gonna have a monster game here. They're going to throw it to him a lot. They always do. I don't think that's changing. And so if they throw it to him, who else gets points, fantasy points, Daniel Jones. So, yeah. And like you said, Arizona has been pretty terrible against the pass. They are getting Patrick Peterson back. So there is that. But at the same time, it's not like they're really reliant on one wide receiver. You know, their best pass catcher right now is Evan Ingram. Patrick Peterson's not going to follow him around.
Yeah, and then the Giants surprisingly have a lot of, you know, options here. A lot of weapons.
Yep.
You know, with Barkley, with Ingram, with Tate, with Shepard, with Darius Slayton. I mean, it's, you know, these guys are fantasy relevant. When it's beginning of the season,
exactly.
The only Giants guy you wanted was Saquon Barkley and Evan Ingram, but it wasn't a lot there, and now it's like, man, we have all of this.
Yeah,
with the elevation of Daniel Jones's play right now, you know, I mean, it's kind of a surprise, but because with Eli at quarterback, I mean, there wasn't a lot to be desired there, obviously, but with Daniel Jones's play, there's a lot more here for fantasy football, and to be able to use some of these players here. So my other must start this week is John Brown. You know, we're going to be all over this. We're, like we said, Buffalo, Buffalo, Buffalo. Yeah. If you got him, start him.
Yep.
You know, Buffalo's coming off the bye week here. And what better matchup to come off a bye to pretty much have another bye against the Miami Dolphins.
Just a bye where you get to score a bunch of touchdowns.
Yeah, it's just like you're going to go out and play some 7-on-7. We're going to not really get tackled, score a lot of points, and, you know, have some wine after the game and get ready for the next week.
Yep.
But I feel like it's kind of a gut call here. John Brown hasn't scored since week one, but he's still getting – I think his worst game had 4 catches. So he's still getting a lot of receptions here. And I think, like, I mean, your must start's Josh Allen, so
yeah,
he's gonna be throwing the ball, I believe that also. And, you know, Cole Beasley's there, obviously, but John Brown is my 2 TD call this week. I've kind of had a rough stretch here, but, John Brown is going to score 2 touchdowns this week. And, you know, just Buffalo's a really good team, and I believe the offense is going to score a lot of points, and I think John Brown's going to get 2 touchdowns this weekend.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I'm a big John Brown fan. I wish I had him more. I did really like him coming into this year. And like you mentioned, he's been pretty consistent. He's not really had a bad game yet. I think he's a fantastic football player. I think he's finally turned the corner on health, and I'm happy to see that because he's kind of a local guy. He went to school locally here. He's a really good football player. Two matchups, great. Yeah, get John Brown in your lineup and don't think twice about it. So moving down a tier into the good option, the guys that aren't quite must starts but still should be pretty effective for you. For me, my first one here, I've got Philip Dorsett. And I am going to touch on this matchup again a little later with my fades. But my expectation, and not everyone has this take here, but my expectation for this game is that the New England Patriots are going to have trouble running the football. The Jets have C.J. Mosley back, who is one of the best linebackers in football. Their run defense has tanked since he went out midway through week one. So that's a huge boost for the Jets defense. I know the Patriots are pretty heavy favorites. But I think if you just think that they're going to be able to run the ball because they're big favorites, that's kind of lazy analysis. I actually think they're going to have to pass the ball to move the football in this game, and Josh Gordon is out. Philip Dorsett has actually averaged almost 7 targets per game this year, and in the last 2 games, he's had 7 and 9 in the last 2 games that he's been healthy. No Josh Gordon in this game. I expect Philip Dorsett to play, and I expect him to operate as their primary deep threat. And I think he catches 4 or 5 passes in this game and maybe he gets a touchdown. I think Philip Dorsett is a real nice play this week.
You know what? I like that, when he's been in there, might take the Antonio Brown game away when they just force feed at him. And now he's actually been really involved in that offense and on the field.
And so my other good option here, I faded him last week and it was a hit. I'm going with Joe Mixon. And for me, it's a lot about the matchup here. Let's see. I've got their information here. Just 1 second. They haven't been effective. He has not scored a rushing touchdown this year. But like I mentioned just a little earlier, Jacksonville has the worst run defense football from an efficiency standpoint. I think they're, at home, they're going to be able to run the football a little bit in this game. I think Joe Mixon gets them a touchdown. For me, it's a lot about the matchup. And I just think that Joe Mixon is kind of due here for a little bit of positive regression. I think he gets a touchdown in this game and gets, a decent amount of touches. So the thing I would say about Joe Mixon is that, especially if you look at the Bengals' upcoming schedule, they do have some rough games there. I would be if Joe Mixon has a usable fantasy day in this week, which I do expect him to do, I would be looking to try and move him because I am not super confident in him going forward. The Bengals are a pass happy team. Their defense is terrible. But I think this is kind of a spike week for Joe Mixon. And I think after this week, you try and move Joe Mixon for another, maybe package him with someone else and get a more solid RB2 or upgrade for your receivers. But I think that Joe Mixon has a solid week. And then I think my thought would be to try and, move him for another if you could.
Yeah, Joe Mixon has been up and down every week this year. A lot of downs.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I totally agree. If he has a really good week, even, a 10 to 15 point week, somewhere in there. And obviously you're hoping for more, but if you're a Joe Mixon owner, try, like you said, Dan, try to find something that you can make a move and try to get rid of him, to try to get rid of the headache, the ups and downs, and try to find somebody with a little bit better floor or more upside and try to upgrade your roster there by getting rid of him and capitalizing on a good game. So one of my good options this week is Frank Gore. I don't know if you know this, but we're all over Buffalo this week, as everybody should be. But I'm expecting – I know Devin Singletary's back. Like, I get that, and I understand that. But Frank Gore is still just plugging away, man. This guy just – I mean, he's like Adrian Peterson, just keeps on going. Like Adrian Peterson last week, you know, had over 100 yards. I don't know if Frank Gore gets to over 100 yards this week, but I believe he has 15 touches, which probably all that would be, you know, rushing the ball, at least most of it.
Yeah.
But, you know, Miami allows 150 yards on the ground. And, you know, between Frank Gore and Devin Singletary, I think you know, you can expect, I mean, even if they split that 75-75, you know, if you know, Buffalo runs for 150 yards, still a solid day for Frank Gore and you know, maybe a goal line plunge in there, and, you know, he gets a score and really makes his day even better.
Yeah, this is a great call. And I like Devin Singletary as well. We don't have him here on our list here. I think the thing there is that Frank Gore's floor is, I would say, significantly higher than Devin Singletary's. You know, Frank Gore is almost locked for 50 touches in this game, like you said. If it gets in close, you would have to think that, you know, option one and option two at the goal line is going to be Frank Gore and Josh Allen. We don't really know. They may get Devin Singletary in there for all we know, but – you know, the expectation, I think, going in is that when they get in close, one is Josh Allen, whether that's pass or run. And if, you know, if handing it off, it's Frank Gore. So, and going against the worst team, there is a whole lot of equity here. He's, you know, almost guaranteed a touch, really, you'd have to think, in a real nice workload. Yeah, like we said, start your bills.
Yeah, Frank Gore's going to get a lot of touches. Unless this game gets out of hand early, like if it's 28-0 in the second quarter and it ends up being 35-0 going into the third, you know, into the halftime,
yeah.
And if Frank Gore was not involved in any of those scores, then he may not have a very good day. But, I mean, he's going to get a workload here. And like you said, his floor is really good right now. Like – he's not killing it, but he's also not letting you down either.
Right.
And when you get this plus matchup against Miami, I mean, everybody's just going, your schedule is coming along, and then you hit Miami and it goes up. Everybody goes up.
Yeah.
And then, you know, so Frank Gore's, you know, floor is really good, and it's going to be elevated up just a fuzz this week against Miami.
The only risk for is if, you know, they get a defensive score or fluky touchdowns that inflate the score, like you said, early, and then they're just, you know, really kind of clock killing for half the game.
Yeah, and they probably just like, all right, Frank, take a week, you know, let's get Devin into the game and get him some rushes, get, you know,
yeah,
because he hasn't played a whole lot, you know, but then maybe, you know, maybe he gets some rushes in the second half and then kind of just wipes away Frank Gore's day. But, you know, we'll see how that works out. But my other good option this week is Matt Breida. Similar situation to like Frank Gore here, where he's solid, like every week. He's just, you know, he's had double digit carries every single week this year. And I know Tevin Coleman's back and, you know, he's heavily involved, but this San Francisco offense uses both of these guys. And Matt Breida is a pure runner. Like, he has the ability. I mean, you seen it on Monday night a couple weeks ago, where he just, boom, hit that hole and he's gone. And he's involved in the pass game too. He gets, you know, receptions every week on top of his double digit carries. So we're talking around 15 touches a game here. And you know, he's going up against this nice matchup against Washington this week. And I think it's, you know, it's going to obviously split with him and Tevin Coleman. You know, you're starting probably both of them.
Yeah.
And Matt Breida has, you know, he's kind of gone every other week here on scoring, and he didn't score last week. So I think it's, you know, it's back on his turn to score kind of here. So I got Matt Breida as my other good option.
Yeah. I mean, every time I feel like, you know, there's a reason, you know, Tevin Coleman's back and there's a little bit of reason to start doubting Matt Breida in any way, shape, or form, he just comes has a massive game. You know, the first game back with Tevin Coleman was back. You know, Matt Breida had a monster game, scored two touchdowns on the Monday night. And I think it's hard to argue against Matt Breida being their actual best running back. That doesn't mean he's going to get the most touches, but I think there's a strong case to be made that he is actually their best running back, and he, yeah. In this matchup, you know, like you said, you're starting both these guys. But, you know, if in this situation, I feel like maybe if the 49ers are blowing out the Redskins early, I still feel like Tevin Coleman and Matt Breida are still going to get a bunch of touches. Now, I don't think if they go up monster, there's no one else really that they're going to bring in that they're just going to hand off the ball to. I think that Coleman and Breida are both going to get a ton of touches in this game, you would think. And matchup's great. Yeah.
Yeah. I just want to, for everybody listening, I want to bring this quick point up real quick while we're on these two guys right here. So let's say, Dan, you are a Frank Gore and Devin Singletary owner, and you only have the ability to start one this week. Which one are you starting?
I would start Frank Gore.
Okay, so same situation for Matt Breida and Tevin Coleman. You have both somehow, and you can only start one.
That one's a lot tougher for me. I think I would go Tevin Coleman, just because I still think that Coleman has a better shot at getting the goal line touches than Matt Breida does. And I think the workload's going to be split fairly evenly across the board in you know, whatever receptions the running backs get, I think are going to be split fairly evenly. Neither one of those is, you know, the passing down back. They're just they both split everything across the board. So that one is really, really close, but I think I would go with Tevin Coleman.
Yeah. I think you got to give the slight edge to Tevin Coleman, just like you said, because of the goal line activity.
Yeah.
And I mean, but and they're interchangeable here, and there's not there are a couple of plays here and then a couple of plays there where they just kind of, you know, they're in and out, so it's not really situational. And they both have the ability to do the same thing, you know, run the ball or catch the ball, but it's been clear that Matt Breida is not the goal line back, and Tevin Coleman has that ability.
Yeah, I will say this about Devin Singletary. I think that the upside, if you're talking pure upside between Frank Gore and Devin Singletary, I think at worst it's equal, and maybe Devin Singletary has actually more upside. But Devin Singletary's floor, in my opinion, is much lower than Frank Gore's is. Frank Gore's a much safer play. He still has the upside, and so that's why I would go with him. But Devin Singletary in this matchup has a ton of upside. If you know, it's just we don't know what kind of workload. We don't know if T.J. Yeldon's still going to be involved. I really like Singletary from a football standpoint. I think he's going to be a good running back, but there's considerably more risk, and that's why it's an easy pick for Frank Gore in that scenario.
Yeah, if you just need points, you're not looking for a splash. Like obviously, you go Frank Gore. No, I'm on the outside of chance. You need to hit a home run or something. You get a little crazy. You could go Singletary, but still, I still think you got to go Frank Gore. You can't just leave points on your bench no matter what. And you have that huge possibility by benching Frank Gore.
Yeah, Frank Gore still has upside in this matchup. Well, I mean, he could get a couple goal line plunges for, you know, two touchdowns, and so there's still plenty of upside for Frank Gore in this matchup.
Yeah.
So, and we go again on down to the dart throws. These are the risky kind of, you know, throw one for side. And I feel like I keep going back here, but
I that well's going to be dry one day, Dan.
I'm going Dr. Pettit. And yeah, you know, the matchup's good against the Redskins. I know that we expect them to run the ball a lot. But again, I feel like there are reasons for optimism for Dante Pettis in this game. The floor is not why he's a dart throw, but Deebo Samuel is out. I think that increases Dante Pettis' target share. And also, you know, if looking at the Redskins, I'm not fading any of them. Like, we've just talked about how much we like them, but the 49ers are without their left tackle. They're going to be without their right tackle. They're without Kyle Juszczyk, their great fullback. So there are pieces missing in that running game. And the matchup, you know, it's fantastic across the board. But I think that there is a possibility here that, you know, obviously, for sure, Washington's focus in the passing game is going to be on George Kittle. I still believe in talent. I think this is another week here where you can take a shot. I'm doing it myself in one league. And one of the biggest reasons, all the things I just said there, but I think with Deebo Samuel out, it gives you a little bit of higher floor with them. So I'm going back at least one more time.
You'll be back again after that.
I can't put him. I don't know. I just can't do it. And then
Dante Pettis will be retired, and he'll show up on our list as a dart throw.
Yeah, I'm going to kill. So my other dart throw, so that's one. My other dart throw, you know, I'm feeling the Daryl Henderson love. You know, he's a huge fade for me going into the year, and for obvious reasons. We're here in week 7, and he's been almost non-existent. Except last week, he had his best game as a pro. You know, all limited, but he looked the best he has, preseason included, in which preseason he was atrocious. I was a huge proponent of Gurley, so you know I have a lot of investment in Gurley. My feeling is, my expectation is that Todd Gurley's workload is going to be a little bit scaled back in this game. You know, the last time he was on the field, he had a 93% snap rate. I think that's closer to 70%. Malcolm Brown's not going to play in this game. So Daryl Henderson's going to get some touches. It's possible that, you know, the Falcons defense is bad. They've been really bad against the pass, but they have not been great against the run either. There's a huge over-under in this game. Vegas expects a ton of points in this game. And Daryl Henderson, it also has been – you know, they drafted him because he has some juice in the passing game as well. There's a chance he gets, you know, some touches in this game. I think Daryl Henderson is a solid dart throw in this matchup.
Yeah, in these high-scoring games, like Vegas has it, you know, you always – like if you do daily fantasy football and you have – say you have Todd Gurley and you're starting him – and you get vultured by the backup running back on a goal line touchdown or a long run touchdown or some kind of deal like that. And I think this game has that potential with Daryl Henderson. Like you got him as a dart throw. And I think that he has this potential in this game for that. So to my dart throws, I have my first one here is Wendell Smallwood. To get to this, Washington 49ers game. Chris Thompson is out. So I know Adrian Peterson is going to get a lot of the carries, but this game's going to get out of hand, and the Washington's going to have to throw the ball a lot here. And I think Wendell Smallwood could have a 5-catch game here and be a really nice dart throw if you're looking for something bottom of the barrel, need a something. I'm sure Wendell Smallwood's available in 100% of leagues right now. So kind of a huge dart throw, but I kind of got a good feeling about this one.
Yeah, I agree, man. I like this call. you know, we'll see how it goes. But, you know, everything seems to be going that way. You know, if you when you look at this matchup, we expect the Redskins to get blown out because they're terrible. and, you know, maybe Bill Callahan keeps handing it off if they're down by, you know, four scores, but they're eventually going to have to start throwing the ball fairly significantly in this game. And with Chris Thompson out, you know, Wendell Smallwood should be the passing down back. Yeah, there's definitely you can see how from Wendell Smallwood could get, you know, a decent amount of touches, and when you're on a dart throw, that's what you're looking for. Is the guy going to get some touches? And you know, there's a good chance of that in this game. I think this is a pretty solid dart throw here.
Yeah, and I mean, the risk is huge, but the game flow should go the way we all think it should here, and the way everybody is expecting it to go. And four or five catches in this dart throw is a really good dart throw.
Yeah.
So my other dart throw this week is Darius Slayton, and I have Daniel Jones as a must start this week. And I have Darius Slayton as a dart throw for a few reasons here. A couple of them being Barkley's back, you know, Evan Ingram's back. Obviously Golden Tate's came off his suspension and looked really impressive. But I think Darius Slayton's going to get faded in a lot of situations. But I don't know if I agree with all of that, because I think him and Daniel Jones have a little connection going. I know he didn't produce last week, like really. I mean, he had an okay day, not great, not terrible.
Yeah.
But he had a lot of targets. He had 8 targets last week, and that's a fairly decent number.
Yeah.
It's probably going to – it may go down this week, but I think there's going to be plenty to go around this week for the Giants. Because, I mean, the Arizona Cardinals defense is like Swiss cheese, so everybody's going to have a hole to go through here. And I think if you want a big play, you know, obviously Golden Tate can have a big play, Barkley can have a big play, but Darius Slayton can have a – I mean, he just needs one play to make a day. And I think he has a very good chance at making that play this week against Arizona.
Yeah, he's played well, and they like him up there, you know. Kind of you know, at least I would say from the national widespread fantasy perspective going into the year, you know, not much buzz there, kind of unexpected. But, you know, he's played well. They like him in New York. And like you said, he does have a little bit of a rapport going. Yeah, and, yeah. Hey, it's a dart throw. He's definitely got a shot here to, you know, break one. And that's what you're hoping for. So with that, we are on to the fades for the week. And this is what I mentioned just a little bit ago. One of my fades is Sony Michel. I have him in a lot of leagues. I'm starting him. I want to be clear here. I would not start Dante Pettis over Sony Michel. Okay. But I think that's where Sony Michel is. He is a flex option. I would not rate him as an RB2 this week. That's why I have him as a fade. DJ Mosley back, like I mentioned, I think that is a huge boost for the Jets defense. I don't think the Jets are going to get blown out in this game. You know, we'll see. But for me, I think the Jets are going to get blown out. I think they can keep it close. I don't think that just because, you know, the Patriots are huge favorites, that automatically Sony Michel is going to have a good day. I just think that the Jets, with Mosley back, that defense is good. They've kind of gotten healthy there on that side of the ball, even and on offense, Darnold. So I just don't see, you know, a big spike week here for Sony Michel. I think in a lot of leagues, you're probably still going to have to start him. I would consider him, you know, a deep flex option. But if you have, you know, I would start Joe Mixon over him. I would do that. That's one I would do. I would start Joe Mixon over Sony Michel this week. And that's kind of where I would – the other fade for me.
So just to help some people out, would you – to give my situation, because I have Sony Michel in one league, my only other option would be to start Miles Sanders Would you start Miles Sanders over Sony Michel this week?
Yeah, that one is tough. The matchup for Miles is not great either. Against Dallas, that's a tough one. Let me see here.
Because I got to start my other running backs are Devontae Freeman. I'm starting him. And obviously, I'm starting Matt Breida. And then I got David Johnson. So I'm starting because in this league, we got two flexes and two running backs. So we can start up to four running backs.
I think I would still have Tony there. I think I would go over Miles Sanders. But yeah, to me, that's because I don't think Miles Sanders is a great play this week. He is not getting a lot of touch, which is disappointing because I think he could be a good football player. But in that scenario, I think I would still go Sony. But I just am not expecting a huge week from Sony Michel. My other one, I'm going with Auden Tate. And again, I think that that's kind of game flow and game specific related. Look at last, they were really focused on getting him the ball. And I think that had a lot to do with the matchup that Tyler Boyd had last week. I think that script flips, and I've already talked about how I think the Bengals can run the football in this game. I think this is a bit of a down week for Auden Tate. I think, you know, don't know if I could start Dante Pettis over him, but I think that is a close decision. It's not like an automatic start Auden Tate. That is more of a coin kind of decision for me at this point between those two guys. So that's why I land Auden Tate as a fade because he has been producing, but I think this will be a down week for him.
Hey, weren't you trying to trade me him? What kind of stuff you trying to pull here?
Everybody.
I'm trying to get Sony Michel from you, and you're fading him this week, so you could have traded him to me. Good fades there, Dan. I hope Sony Michel produces. I kind of need a win this week, but
I have nailed my fades the last 2 weeks, so it's inevitable. I'm gonna make one here, and it very well be that one. So you may be
3 touchdowns for Sony Michel. It is. Let's go.
Yeah.
So my two fades this week. One of them is Matt Stafford. You can just go back and look at history here, and Matt Stafford has not fared well against the Vikings in the last 5 games. And last 5 games against Minnesota, he's only thrown 3 touchdowns. If my math is correct, that is not good.
Not good, Bob.
No, not good. 3 touchdowns in 5 games. That's Joe Flacco territory. Ooh, solid burn. It's not quite 8 sacks, but it's not good either. Minnesota's defense wasn't all that last week, and I think they're looking to get back on track and put that behind them. And Matt Stafford has not fared well against them, and this is an easy fade. I mean, I don't know how you're starting him anyways. I mean, it depends on what your roster looks like, but I mean, or in 2 quarterback leagues. In 2 quarterback leagues, I think you have way more options. I mean, I know quarterbacks rule in a lot of those leagues, but I think you can find him on the bench in a lot of scenarios.
Yeah.
So in my other fade is Robbie Anderson. I know the Jets looked a lot better last week with Sam Darnold into the, you know, in the quarterback position. The pitcher's defense is pretty good. And I expect them to lock Robbie Anderson down. Stephon Gilmore is going to put a damper on that. They've already played this year, and Robbie Anderson was held in check with only 3 catches for 11 yards. So I don't expect a whole lot out of Robbie Anderson this week. I think even though Sam Darnold's back, this is a tough matchup for the Jets.
Yeah, I I thought about this one here too, and I think this is a fantastic call. Robbie Anderson probably should not be really. If you're in a 10-team league, definitely Robbie Anderson should not be in a starting lineup. 12-team leagues, it gets close because of what he's shown to do, but the matchup doesn't get any worse. And, you know, I would have to think that the going to that the long – you're not getting a 92-yard score in this game. I don't think Robbie Anderson is not getting a long score. That's kind of his game. And if you get the long score, usually doesn't have a good fantasy week. So, yeah, this – you're taking a huge, huge, massive leap of faith if you are starting Robbie Anderson this week.
Yeah, I mean, you take away that long touchdown last week, and he has a 4-for-30 game.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's – I know, obviously, you can't take things away, but – and Robbie Anderson is one play away from going 92 yards in a touchdown, but I do not see the Patriots giving up a 92-yard touchdown this week.
No, yeah, that's not going to happen.
No.
Another fantastic call there. So – that's it for the picks. We do have one more here as we're going to make our call on our favorite kind of our pick for the highest scoring player or, you know, favorite play of the week here. And I'm going to throw him right back out there. He's back off the injury, but Saquon Barkley, I think he's getting at least 20 touches in this game. Matchup's great. We've already talked about that. Saquon Barkley, load up on Barkley in DFS.
Yeah, I was like, we were pounding start every bill you can, and then we both have two Giants as our as our highest scoring players, and my pick this week for the highest scoring player is Daniel Jones, and I think you can load him up on daily too. I mean, you can probably get him at a pretty good bargain, and has the ability to be QB1 this week. Like we said, against that Arizona defense, so. That's my pick this week for the highest scoring player. We both have Giants players.
Yep. And I think a Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley stack is pretty intriguing because, like I said, they're going to throw the ball to him a lot too. So,
yeah, you can get a throwing touchdown there and, you know, you get double prizes.
Right. All right. So that's a wrap for week 7. Hopefully, we hit it just about as well. Maybe we'll try and do better, but we did pretty good last week. So, hopefully, we can keep that up. And we'll be back again next week. Let's all go out there and get some wins this week. Good luck to everybody. Thanks for listening. As always, hit us up with any start sit questions. We've gotten a few of those this week, and those are fun to do. So, hit us up with start sit questions on social media. We have a Facebook page. We have Twitter. Just search Dan and Joe Fantasy Show. Thanks again for listening. Good luck, and we will see you next week.
See you guys.